This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
We bring in a broadcast partner heading into our 21st season together on Penn State basketball, but also one of the preeminent horse racing writers and prognosticators, Dick Girardi. Sir, welcome. So let's start, before we get to the horses, with the location. Saratoga, really in a lot of ways a magical place. The next 2 years, the Belmont will be there because of the construction in Elmont. Just give us an idea of the setting and what it does to this particular race.
Right. So for the people that don't know, Saratoga is upstate New York in the Adirondacks, about 30 minutes north of Albany. And as Steve said, the reason it's being run at Saratoga is Belmont Park is undergoing reconstruction. It'll be at Saratoga next year, and they're hoping to have the Belmont back in Long Island in 2026. But if not, it'll be at Saratoga 3 straight years. I always thought Red Smith, Steve, is credited with this. He didn't write it, but supposedly he said it. He says, you go to Saratoga, you drive 175 miles north of New York City, turn left on Union Avenue and go back 100 years. That's kind of the best description of the place. Yeah. We went up there a couple of years ago when Penn State was playing in Albany against Siena, and it was in the wintertime, so not the same as now. But all these old Victorian homes, and the racetrack is the oldest sporting venue in America. It opened in 1863, and just an historic town. And during the race meet, horses have the right-of-way on the street. Cars, nope, not you. Horses get to move around. So it's like that. Typically, the meet is late July till Labor Day, and this year we have this four-day Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, which actually started yesterday and continues through Sunday, with the two big days are today and then tomorrow. Tomorrow's like a mini Breeders' Cup, culminating with the Belmont Stakes a little before 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Well, when they run at Belmont Park, it is once around because it's a huge track. It's a mile and a half. What's the setup at Saratoga for this? Do they have to go by the grandstand twice? I mean, how does this set up?
Right, so they'll actually start this race at the 8th pole. It's a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half, because a mile and a half just doesn't work with the configuration. Unlike Belmont Park, which, as you said, is a mile and a half oval, Saratoga is a mile and an eighth oval. So they'll start at the 8th pole, run to the finish line, and then have another mile and an eighth, which you can add up to 2/8. That's a mile and a quarter. So it's the same distance as the Derby and the Travers, which is the marquee race in the summertime at Saratoga. That's the big difference. We're talking 440 yards shorter than the typical Belmont, which in the life of a racehorse is about 30 seconds or so.
Right. Okay, so this is one where both the Derby and the Preakness winner happen to be in it.
Yep.
And neither
yep.
one's the favorite. Sierra Leone is the favorite. When you see, I mean, odds are odds, but what puts Sierra Leone maybe in a better position in this race than the other two?
10 of the last 20 Belmont winners are horses that ran in the Derby, did not run in the Preakness, then came back to win the Belmont. So the reason Sierra Leone, two reasons, obviously, his race record is very good. But he's had the 5-week rest where Mystic Cannon won the Derby, obviously ran on in the Preakness, ran second. And Seize the Gray, who won the Preakness, he actually ran on Derby Day. He won another race on the undercard, the Pat Day Mile. So this is their third race in 5 weeks, where Sierra Leone, it'll be his second. And that, in this sport, is a gigantic edge. And if you remember, Steve, Sierra Leone loses by a nose. And the reason he lost by a nose is because the jack didn't get him to run straight.
Right.
He kept trying to turn left and bouncing it. He ended up bouncing into Forever Young over and over again. So they've changed the bit. They've changed the riders, and they're thinking he'll run straight this time. And he's two noses from being undefeated. He's not a cinch by any means, but he's the logical favorite.
With Flavian Pratt now aboard, I mean he's one of the top jockeys in the world.
He is. He's my favorite big race guy. And Tyler Gaffney, who rode him in the Derby, made a mistake that you just can't make. the trainer had told him, he first started riding the horse before the Risen Star Stakes at the fairgrounds in New Orleans, and said, look, when you come into the stretch, the horse likes to turn left, so make sure you have the whip in your left hand, and you hit him a couple of times, so he moves to the right. He did that in the first two races, and he forgot to do it in the Derby. Mm-hmm. And by the time he finally pulled out his whip, if you remember, it was too late because right. The other horse was right next to him. There was no you couldn't use the whip. Yeah. So Chad Brown said, I don't think you're riding this horse again. So they changed to Pratt, changed the bit. We'll see if that's enough to get him over the finish line.
And Tyler Gaffalione changed horses too. He ended up on Protective Todd Pletcher's horse in this race. All right. So then there's
He'd be interesting to see if he gets near Sierra Leone and how that works out.
Yeah, well, he knows how the horse operates. At least he's supposed
to. Yes, he does.
Right.
Yes, he does.
Mystic Dan sees the gray. Sees the gray goes from the one. Mystic Dan from the three. What do you like about each? What don't you like about each?
Sees the gray, I mean, it surprised me in the Preakness that he was able to get the lead that easily. I think he's going to get the lead again. I don't see a lot of other speed. There's some. There's no reason not to go from the one post. Just go. And right. If that was real, if he's going to do that again, then he's got a chance to win. And the price is probably, people aren't going to believe it, so the price is still going to be okay. Of the two of them, I would say Mystic Dan is the one more likely to run well because he's a two-way horse, meaning he can run near the front, he can run mid-pack, he can run really anywhere. He can run to the front. And they're both, I think Mystic Dan's going to be like 5-1, and I think, my guess is Seize the Gray would be like 8, which are pretty good prices for the Derby and Preakness winner.
Yeah.
Source Mind Frame is going to be the second choice. Now, nobody's heard of him because he's only run twice, but he's run really fast in those two races. And you get Pletcher and Ortiz and Stevia like this. They were going to run Fierceness in this race, the Derby favorite. It's run terrible. Mind Frame outworked him recently, and Pletcher said, Fierceness, you're out. Mind Frame, you're in. So that's why he's running in the race and not Fierceness.
Yeah, and that's a Pletcher horse. I don't know much about Arad Ortiz, though, the rider. What do you know about him?
Yeah, he's only won the Eclipse Award, like, I don't know, every year for the last 5 or 6. Yeah, he's the man in the sport. I like Pratt a little more, but you can't go wrong with Irad. One of the problems, however, with Irad is all of his horses get overbet because he's so good. Mm-hmm. So you're probably not going to get the price you would hope to get on Mind Frame. Having said all that, he's got the talent. He's got the highest buyer figure in the race at 103. Mm-hmm. It's just he's only raced twice, and he's in against legitimate horses. I mean, you're talking the Derby winner, the Bluegrass winner, the Preakness winner. These are really good horses.
Yeah.
So he's like the high school player starting his first college hoops game, right? Is he going to be ready in this circumstance? Yeah. The talent's there. Will it happen? It could. I mean, he's that good.
Is there anybody that right now is double digits to one that has a shot at being in there?
Honor Marie, the 8. Put a line through his Derby, finished 8, had no chance, just totally sandwiched at the start, was taken completely out of the race. And I've said this a few times to people. I said he ran an heroic 8. It's like whatever could go wrong did go wrong. Now, my issue there is he hasn't looked quite as good on the track as he did prior to the Derby. Did not run in the Preakness. But given the price that he's going to be, I think he's a must-use just on the chance that he can come back to his Louisiana Derby second. When he was only beaten a length by Catching Freedom. You know, he ran 4th in the Derby, 3rd in the Preakness. So that's legitimately good form. And he's probably going to get overlooked of the double-digit horses. He would be the one I would prefer. Although Resilience, I think, will probably outrun his odds. Antiquarian as well, won the Peter Pan. Those are all horses going to be in the double-digit area.
You always like to look at horses the next 100 yards after the finish line. In the Derby and the Preakness, who look good the next 100 yards after the finish line?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought Mystic Dan kept running. I thought he kept trying in the Preakness. It's just the circumstance were against him. And even though he was probably going to get caught in a couple more yards in the Derby, it wasn't like he was totally collapsing either. I think it was more those horses were just rolling. So, yeah, I think he looked good. And I'm a little partial to his trainer. He's been a friend for 20 years. Kenny McPeak's a really good guy who's now has a career Triple Crown, and I'm hoping he gets a shot at the Hall of Fame. He's won 2,000 races, and now he's won a Derby, a Preakness, and a Belmont. And as you know, Steve, he's the first trainer since 1952 to win the Kentucky Oaks and the Derby on the same weekend.
Yep.
So that's a Hall of Fame resume in one weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you want to play it at Saratoga? And by the way, how tough is the ticket at Saratoga?
Impossible. Yeah. I mean, as soon as they went on sale, they were sold out in no time. I'm told that there's no restaurant reservations at all. Forget it for since like Wednesday, and you can't get a hotel room within 30 miles of Saratoga. You got to go at least Albany into the south, and probably Lake George to the north to have any chance at all to get a hotel room. I'm going to key Honor Marie. It's a bit of a stretch because the horse doesn't have a lot of pop, and I'm a little concerned with what I'm seeing. But just the price is going to be right. So I'm going to key the Honor Marie with Mystic Dan, Sierra Leone, and Mind Frame, meaning I'm going to use him first and second, Steve, and Exactus, and just hope that one of those long-shot Exactus comes in. That was kind of my backup plan in the Derby, to key Sierra Leone with, like, three or four horses, including Mystic Dan. I like Fierceness the best. I was going to bet him to win and then bet those Exactus, but I ended up, I was playing a contest. I had no bankroll by the time, so I couldn't do it. But it was just you always need extra backup plans, and that's kind of the plan I have here. I actually found this race the hardest of the three to get a sense of it, which is unusual. The Derby, I thought I understood it perfectly. I did until Fierceness just ran terrible.
Right.
I don't have any particular explanation for that, but he was where I thought he'd be. I didn't think the field was very much, but major credit to Mystic Dan and Kenny. Great ride by Brian Hernandez, and he was the best horse on the day.
Why is this one the toughest one? Since now at least we have more. I know Honor Marie doesn't have much of a resume, but the others have resumes.
Yeah. I can't get a great sense of how the race is going to be run. I think Seize the Gray is probably going to be in front again, but there's a chance Mind Frame could beat him to the first turn because he's that fast. And for me, I really like seeing the races. I could see the Preakness. I knew where Mystic Dan was going to be. I knew he'd run well, and he did. I saw the Derby. It just turned out the horse was no good. I'm just not getting a great feel for this. I think Seize the Gray's in front with Mind Frame right behind him. And probably Mystic Dan not all that far away. And I know what they're hoping for with Mystic Dan is there's a battle for the lead this time instead of somebody loose on the lead, because any good horse loose on the lead is dangerous.
Yeah.
And Seize the Gray's a legitimate horse. And you give him that kind of a spot, it's like getting a head start.
You know, as for the Fierceness thing, I can't stand when the animal doesn't cooperate.
That's right. What are you doing? I mean, I told you where to be. You did what I told you, and then what happened to you? It's just wrong, Steve.
It's wrong. It's all wrong. DJ, I know, I believe, what, Louisville's your next stop? So I will let you get to Louisville next.
Oh, yeah, no, 1:30 with, I think it's Bob, it's usually Bob Valvano, but I believe it's Bobby's son today. I think Bobby is off.
Oh, very nice.
He is Mr. Louisville, as you know.
Yes, he is. Mr. Louisville, indeed. Sir?
Scotty Scheffler calls it Louisville, which I thought was pretty funny.
By the way, how did you putt last week?
I want to say I made like three or four. You know what? I was in a very good group, Steve. There was a lot of times I never had a putt because it was already, the guys had already knocked it in. So it was an impressive group. Nice guys. One of the guys outdrove the long drive guy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was hitting him like 350 on a regular basis. It was like, what? I didn't have to worry about that, as you know. I pitched. But...
Man, I kind of feel like my group got the bunt sign. All right. Dick? Thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right, Steve. We'll talk to you soon. See you, pal.
The great Dick Girardi.